The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, James and Betty discuss the remnant of God's people and the role we play in our world.
As Christians, we are responsible. We can't say, oh, I didn't know. Yes, we do. As His children, He has taught us, and we can't just put aside the things that we think, James, that don't pertain to us, or put aside what's going on in our world and say, well, we're children, we're going to go be with God. That doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter.
Well, Betty and I want to welcome you to Life Today. Betty, you know, we feel like we're talking to the most beautiful people on the planet, and I wish I could actually be looking right straight into your eyes. As much as we can, that's exactly what we're trying to do. But we're living in some really serious times, and let me tell you what I believe about you. I believe you're part of what God referred to through the prophet Isaiah as a remnant. Many times we've heard ministers and teachers of the Word of God talk about a holy remnant, a special remnant, a very committed to God's purpose body of people. Listen to it in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, but listen to it with this in mind. Betty, I believe that we are a part of that remnant. Matter of fact, something you shared with me and our assistants just on the phone one morning, it moved us. And we realized that we're part of the remnant. Listen to the scripture. This is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, and if you ever focused in, now let me just say this to you. If you love God, love your neighbor, if you love anybody, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, if you love anybody, if you want the best for yourself and your family, if you want the best for others, please understand this. Because the deck right now is stacked against what's best for any of us. But now listen to what God said through Isaiah. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been like Sodom and should have been like Gomorrah. Billy Graham's wife said several times before she died, if America doesn't turn back to God, basically implying, Betty, that we have sinned perhaps against more truth and more blessings than any nation in history. And she said, if we don't repent, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if He doesn't judge us. Why have we not seen this devastation? And boy, we've seen some really challenging things in the last 12 months or so. And we've been seeing it over the years. But we're here, and right now, the only hope we have is the fact God left a remnant. And Betty, what moved us to say to you, you must listen, please. You must listen to what God is saying to us right now. Because in the midst of really terrible, treacherous threats, dangerous decisions that are going to produce not only dissension and division, but outright death and destruction. We are headed as rapidly as we can over a cliff. We are headed into absolute chaos. God help us. So when I was talking to you, I was sharing with my assistants on the phone, and you always sit there and listen and pray with me and for me. I said, I feel like it's so serious. And you just suddenly said, I want to read, and you picked up some paper. Tell us what you did and why.
Well, first off, I've been journaling for quite a while, for several years now. I felt like it was a way of me having a relationship with God and Him speaking to my heart. And as a younger person, I just thought, okay, you're supposed to read your Bible every day. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And I did. But I never took time to let God's Word speak to my heart. Now I believe that I do, and so I'm anxious to go to His Word and let Him share with me first. I don't go looking for what everybody else needs to hear, but it's for me and what God wants to share for me. And I went to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I started to I wrote down several scriptures on prayer. I wanted to know, really, more about prayer and my communication with God. And that's what it is. It's the communication with God and letting Him hear our hearts and we hear His hearts.
You indicated that you did that because you felt the weight of what was happening in our nation.
Absolutely.
Like on the border, the children being basically brought in. No real oversight. We know for a fact, because we live in Texas, we live in the border area, many of them trafficked. Many of them will never really know freedom. And that's what they were coming for, but they're going to contribute to the downfall of freedom. They're actually going to be used. So you said, this is what happened when I see the weight. Yeah. I went to this.
I went to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Then I went to Psalms 32:6. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. And it's hard for me now, James, to read God's Word without it touching my heart. And the tears begin to flow because God gives us His Word to follow. And I think as Christians, we are responsible. We can't say, oh, I didn't know. Yes, we do. As His children, He has taught us, and we can't just put aside the things that we think, James, that don't pertain to us, or put aside what's going on in our world and say, well, we're children, we're going to go be with God. That doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. God put us here for a purpose, and it was to reach out to those that don't know. And it was a purpose of showing others how they can live kingdom life, James, and know Him in a victorious way, and to know Him in a way that is a light to others, and we can share that light to everyone that we come in contact with.
When you got through sharing those scriptures with us, we just went into prayer. And that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is something that all of you are familiar with. I mean, if my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. I want to really call your attention now to a couple of aspects that are critical to our future. The future of freedom, all the stability and security that we need and desire and actually deserve, because those of us who know the truth know that if we will live the truth and apply the truth and return to the truth, that's repentance. Let God change our minds, our hearts, our direction, our thought processes, because in this nation now, the minds of people have been trained against God. We're actually teaching in our public schools, in our institutions of higher learning, our colleges, our universities. We are teaching against God and against His truth. And so God says, this is Betty, so I feel so moved to pray. And all these scriptures that she wrote down, they were invitations to pray. God said, call upon me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. And He goes on there in Jeremiah to talk about how He will heal the land. The very same thing that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. And you heard that over and over in the last year or so. Pray. God wants to restore the land, but we need to turn from our wicked ways. But who's that addressed to? It's addressed to the remnant. It's addressed to those who know God, who are called by His name. The New Testament Christians were called Christians. They took notice they had been with Jesus. They could see something in their lives. Here's what we must understand, and I really do believe this. The viewers of life today, those of you that support the outreaches of life, you are a part of that sacred, beautiful remnant of God upon which freedom's future hope rests. God does not want us to be trampled ground. He does not want us to be devoured by the wolves. He does not want us to live our lives in a prison or a monastery. He wants us to live on His planet as God called, God set apart overseers. And we can do this with the reality of the King of Kings here and make a kingdom impact on God's planet Earth for His glory. This is the hope. Why don't we see the family of God inspire all families to return to the ultimate Father that loves unconditionally, redemptively, and perfectly with transforming power. Please get this. He said, if my people, Betty, that's us, call by my name. And I believe those of you who watch Life Today and those of you who participate in the outreaches, I believe you're just like those believers that Jesus talked about when he said God's going to separate the sheep from the goats and the goats are not going to have any part in the kingdom that's to come, but the sheep will. And he said, who are the sheep? Who are the ones that really know me? The ones that when you saw me naked or you saw me hungry or you saw me thirsty, you saw me in prison, you saw me in need, you visited me. I was the least of these. In other words, you notice the least of these and you come and minister to that need. That means that you are remnant people. You are people who understand there is a king that has come and his kingdom is in us. And the king is in us. The same Jesus that walked here lives in us. And those of us who understand that, and Jesus said, if you do these things, you notice these people, you're the sheep. The Father's going to come and say, inherit everything I have for you forever. You're the family. Betty, I believe the people that watch this show and that like to hear the truth that can set everybody free, and we show them the least of these and the overlooked and the downtrodden and the desperate, they say, count me in. And you step up, you do this. You say, let me give them food. Let me give them water. Let's set them free. Even if they're trafficked and used, let's set them free. All right. You're the ones, this remnant, my people call by my name if you pray. Now, let's get this promise and let's understand it very fully. Just listen to it right here in the Word of God. Let's just break it down. My people call by my name humble themselves. That means we need strength beyond ourselves. We need wisdom beyond ourselves. We need direction. We need shelter. We need safety. We need wisdom. We need the truth that sets us free. And you tell us we'll only know that truth that sets us free if we abide in you. Right after he's taught about the vine and we're the branches and we've got to stay connected so we bear fruit. When you say, and that's what you're doing. Every time you say, I'll give a drink of water, I'll feed that hungry person, I'll do it. And Jesus said, you're doing it to me. This is kingdom impact stuff. You do it. You know what? I'm going to answer your prayers. You've humbled yourself to say, God, I know where the answer is. I know where the hope is. I know where the help is. And so I'm going to you. But Betty, he says something else very important here. Humble ourselves, admitting he's the only one who can turn it around for us. He's the only one who can set us free and keep us free. But it says, turn from their wicked ways. Betty, you're as awesome a wife as I believe God ever allowed a man to spend 58 years with as my wife. You're an incredible mother. You are an incredible person. And I believe with all your heart you care. But God says to his people, turn from your wicked ways. I see you weeping many times. Do you think that Christians, those who might be the remnant, who are, those who do know him and love him, do you think that we have some ways that are actually proven to be wicked because of the negative adverse effect? And what would be a wicked way?
Well, I think those things that distract us from God, anything that pulls us away from him and his truth and his foundation, the things that he has put in us and drives us away from the spirit that he has put in us, that distracts us, anything, and we start to compromise on things that we didn't think we'd ever compromise on. And so I think that's what he might be talking about there.
He tells us that we are, in fact, our brother's keeper. When we're helping people in need, we're being their keeper, we're being their helper. But what about a responsibility to stand up for truth? In a country that's free, where you're able to make decisions and choose leaders that put policies in place and establish laws, do we have a responsibility to choose wisely? Do you believe that people might be considered wicked if they don't participate in the process of making wise decisions with wise leadership, knowing that the leadership that is wise is getting the wisdom from above, and they're going to be faithful to God's Word? Is it important for those who confess Christ and say they know Christ to take a responsibility for seeing that proper things are done in your community, your subdivision, your city, your county? Is it important for Christians to have a part in determining what happens to their children, our grandchildren, now our great-grandchildren? Should Christians care enough to even be informed and be involved?
Absolutely. I think we should care immensely. God put us here for that purpose. We can't say, okay, you teach our children, you take care, you train them up in the way. No, that's our responsibility. And same way with our communities, we have a responsibility there as children of God to show people there is a right way. And it's God's way. There is a way that can bring light and joy and peace. We have a responsibility to vote right. We have a responsibility to search out those that are in the leadership in our world, in our country here, James, and know what they stand for or what they don't stand for. We have that responsibility and we have that right. So many times I think, James, as Christians and the church tends to step back and say, well, this is the world. This is the world. We're not of this world. We're not supposed to act like the world, but we are in this world till Jesus takes us to be with Him. So be responsible and take the opportunity that God gives us as His children to show people there it can be a way that is right and is good.
Would you agree that it's wickedness to allow things to happen that we see? Like all these people coming across the border with tremendous needs and knowing they're not going to be legitimately met, but they're going to be used to build power bases and to take over and actually destroy the very freedom that made people want to come here. Do you believe that's a problem?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe it's a problem if people do not vote for wise leadership and see that the leaders will listen to the Word of God, not cast it aside, or as you're going to hear in a program later this week, change God's truth actually into a lie? Do you believe that's a wicked way that Christians need to turn from? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's part of the process when God says, I will hear you? What you're doing is you've humbled yourselves, you're praying, seeking my face, you've turned from your wicked ways. Then I hear from heaven and I heal your land. That's what happens. Do you believe if every one of us would say, God, show us your truth, reveal your ways, we're going to spend the rest of our life praying for your will to be done on earth, but we're also going to do our best to be wise, to be well-informed, to be involved in what matters to our children, our neighbors, their children, their grandchildren. We are going to care about everything that happens to the people you love so much and gave your Son to redeem. Amen. Betty, if we would repent and pray with that repentant heart, God says, I will heal your land. Father, we've not loved you. We've not loved our neighbor fully. We have not even loved one another in the church like we should. Forgive us. Lord, we've not been well informed and involved. We've allowed our tax dollars to be used to teach our students in the schools that our money funds against you, against truth, against basics of life. God, forgive us. And may we make a commitment right now that we're going to turn from these ways and watch you heal our land. God said He will hear, He will forgive. He says He will cleanse us and He will cover us and make us well. Even as a people. I believe that's what you want. Don't take prayer lightly. Don't take these verses lightly. Take them to heart and let God transform our hearts. Betty, we're going to give these incredible people that I call a great part of the remnant. I think you're the remnant that will awaken the remnant, that will awaken the church. I really believe that. I believe you're that special. I want to show you a neighbor overseas that has a need, a little one. Now, I just want you to ask God, what do you want me to do as one of your sheep to minister to you? Yes, Lord, by ministering to these. Watch closely.
Within the life of every child is God-given potential. We can see it in the dreams these children have for their future. Though he lives a meager life and has few possessions, Fernando dreams of moving to a city to become an architect. He'll design a school for Antonio, who dreams of becoming a teacher. He'll design a hospital for Rosa, who dreams of becoming a doctor. Who would have thought children with so little would have dreams so big? But Fernando's mother knows that his chances for realizing his dreams are slim. She knows the painful reality that his food supply is unstable at best, and during lean months, completely depleted. Already, the scarcity of food has led to the deaths of many children, and with it, their chance of a dream extinguished. The biggest obstacle for children like Fernando is simply the lack of food. Food. It's as simple as that. By helping to provide just one child like Fernando with a daily bowl of food, you'll be making a world of difference, not only for him, but for every child who is holding on to a dream.
Well, I look at those kids, and I'm telling you, I just feel like, and I have, I've embraced them and embraced them, and I didn't care about if they had some disease. I didn't care. I just loved them. And I look at them now, and I just see little children that have so much potential. Betty, I think about a little boy that didn't have a father, the product of rape. It's the reason he was born. An ad in the paper, somebody come get him, and just lived so poor. And yet God looked down, and he saw me. He said, I can use that boy. And that's what he sees. I've watched those kind of children that were right at the death's door be changed. I've watched them become leaders in their communities. I watched the country of Mozambique, the poorest nation on the planet, be turned around, and a miracle occurred because of the power of the gospel and the feeding that you made possible to save millions and millions of lives. And I've watched them grow up and become teachers and professors. We've seen it all over Asia. We've seen it around the world. God's love transforms people. And we need that transforming power here right now. And I'm telling you what, when we share that, well, you talk about our prayers having a greater force, a greater power. It's like concentrated prayer is like putting the power of the Colorado River through a turbine, and it'll light up the desert with energy, electrical energy. Prayer, when we come together and concentrate it, it's like that dynamic power that lights up the world. That's what you're doing. When you today say, I want to touch those children with the love of God, they are hungry. Many of them are going to die. And they could live with a new future that love has offered them. Would you right now help us feed 3, 5, or 10 children? The missionaries have found these areas of great concern and organized them. And they say, we'll be feeding here. And the people find those havens of rest and hope. But we have to provide the food. 350,000 of them organized now. Would you feed 10 of them with a gift of $100 for the next months? 5 with the gift of 50, 3 for 30. Could you give $1,000 toward helping us rebuild the malnutrition clinics that have been destroyed? They need to be restored. God's love through us makes it happen. We have some beautiful gifts to send you to encourage you and to bless you and inspire you during these challenging times as we put God's arms of love around the people He gave His life to redeem. Please go online, go on the phone, take your bank card, make the best gift you can. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Thank you for doing it.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. The urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle, featuring an instrumental music CD with 12 classic hymns and a 31-day prayer booklet to help renew your soul. With your gift of $100 or more, request the No Greater Love frame print. This portrait is a reminder of our Savior's love and the price that was paid for our salvation. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Please know that we do need the help of every one of you who can help. And we want to send you this Quiet Time Bundle, It Is Well. These hymns are absolutely fabulous. Some of the greatest, and It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle, just devotional thoughts. The beautiful portrait of Jesus framed. I'm telling you, it's fabulous. Betty, don't we just have the most wonderful friends? Amen. You're part of the family of God. And we are choosing this day whom we'll serve. Yes. As for us in our house, your house, Amen. We're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to bless the world by loving Him and loving them. Thanks so much for watching. Don't miss when I share later the danger of changing God's truth into a lie. Don't miss it.
Oh, you can hear me cry, see my dreams all die from where you're standing on your own. It's so quiet.
Could you identify what your greatest need is right now?
Sheila Walsh reminds us of the opportunity we have to take our cares to God tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.